Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I know we don't want the Broncos to punt on a QB this year, but in a scenario where either they draft Pratt in like the fourth round and it looks like he's not going to start next year, or they just don't get a QB at all, and we come into 2025 and the Cowboys don't give Dak Prescott an extension and he's an unrestricted free agent, and it's like a Kirk Cousins situation there was this year, and next year the Broncos, they'll finally be out of their cap mess. They're projected to have like $100 million in cap space next year. So they could, in theory, have the cap space to sign someone like Dak Prescott. Like, I know you don't want to skip this QB class, but in the weird scenario that it did happen, would you be opposed to signing Dak Prescott in 25?
Hey there, everybody. Welcome into the show. It's great to have you with us. Ryan O'Leary here playing host, along with John Heath of USA Today's Broncos Wire. Hey, John, short intro today. How you doing, John? What's going on?
I'm doing pretty good. We're just now 2 weeks away from the draft. I'm excited for it. It's the first time the Broncos have a first-round pick since before they traded for Russell Wilson. So we can officially put the Russell Wilson era behind us and move forward, assuming they do make a first-round pick and don't trade completely out of the round. But yeah, I'm excited. The draft's coming up. It's going to be an interesting few weeks here coming up.
Yeah, it's a fun time of year. We're going to do a lot of draft stuff. But I just wanted to start, John. I think the main, what's the top story with the Denver Broncos? I think it remains, what is the plan at quarterback? And we talked about that at length during our last podcast. I just wanted to revisit it here before we really jumped into the draft needs. I think obviously the number one draft need is quarterback. So let's just like refresh our thoughts on that. Maybe things that have changed over the last couple of weeks since we recorded last. Where do you stand? We did a lot on the potential of the Broncos trading up for a J.J. McCarthy type of player. There was a lot of smoke around that. I talked about, the potential of targeting a Michael Penix Jr., who I think has just as much upside as a Drake May. You know what I mean? So we were talking through that. What's your thought on the Broncos, the quarterback situation, and the draft? Do you want to reset your thoughts on that as we stand today on April 10th?
Yeah, I think they're definitely going to draft a quarterback. And the cop-out answer is, I don't know when that's going to be. Like, I would definitely say they're drafting a quarterback. It's just like you said, are they moving up for one of those top guys? Are they settling for who's there at 12? Like, Bo Nix is a super popular pick for them in mock drafts at number 12. But me personally, I'm like, do you really have to draft Bo Nix at 12? Can you trade down to like the 20s and probably still get him? Like, I personally think they can. Maybe I'm wrong. But so like either moving up for a guy, staying put at 12, moving down for Nix or Michael Penix, like you said, or even a little later in the draft, you get someone like a Michael Pratt who has the New Orleans connection and all the connection to Sean Payton. So it's a cop-out answer, like I said, but I really don't have any idea of when they're going to get a quarterback, because I think in part they've done a good job not playing their hand of exactly when they're going to do it. But they are going to draft someone. And then the question is, are they also going to add a veteran in addition to that, in addition to Jarrett Stidham? Like, I wouldn't be shocked at all if they sign Ryan Tannehill or some kind of vet of that, like that kind of resume after the draft. They don't need to do it before the draft. But a couple weeks ago at the owners meeting, Sean Payton raised some eyebrows when he said along the lines of, there are a couple guys in this league or who have played in this league who are available. And everybody was like, guys who have played in this league, who's he talking about? And half joking, half serious, people are like, oh, he means Tom Brady, or oh, he means Drew Brees, or even more wild names than that. And that's kind of a fun scenario to play with, but I think the Tom Brady ship has sailed. I think if he was going to come back, he would have come back last season. And Drew Brees, Brady was falling off a little bit his last season, you could just tell. And I think Drew Brees fell off even harder than Brady, and that was years before Brady retired. So I don't think the Broncos are going to do something like that. I have a feeling Peyton was probably talking about someone like a Ryan Tannehill. But again, I think that would happen after the draft if it happens. And, you know, if they trade up, if they shock everyone and, like, go get Drake May or go get Jaden Daniels, then I think maybe you'd be okay with Jarrett Stidham backing up and not having to get a Tannehill. But if they did wait and they got someone that was more developmental or something, then I think it'd be more imperative to have a proven vet like Tannehill, maybe more so than Jarrett Stidham. Although, you know, you've talked about it before, how they've talked up Stidham and talked about him like he's a starter and all this stuff, and then he goes out and plays and it's not any good. So I don't personally have faith in Stidham. They say that they do. They say that he's going to get to compete for the starting job. But, you know, actions speak louder than words, especially in the NFL. So we'll see. Like, we'll see after, if they sign Ryan Tannehill after the draft, that tells you everything that you need to know about what they truly think about Stidham. And yeah. So, sorry, Ryan, I'm it's a cop-out answer, like I said, but they are drafting a quarterback. I have no idea to gauge when that will be.
Yeah, just to reset my thoughts on this, and my take on it really hasn't changed too much. You know, the J.J. McCarthy stuff, I think a couple weeks ago when we talked about it, John, there was a lot of smoke there. A lot of people were talking up the Broncos going up to get him, trading up to get McCarthy. I was watching ESPN this morning, and Mel Kiper had some comments on McCarthy that really stuck with me. I didn't have to write them down. They've been bouncing around in my head. I knew we were going to have this podcast tonight. Kiper said that McCarthy, do you know how many touchdowns McCarthy threw in the fourth quarter of games combined this season, John? Throw out a number. What do you think?
I'm guessing it's a high number. I'm going to say like 17.
One.
Oh, boy.
One touchdown pass in the fourth quarter during a championship season. And why? And you know, and there's another thing he said is that there was a game against Penn State where Michigan threw zero passes in the second half. And there were some other games where all McCarthy had to do was take a snap under center, turn around, hand it to his running back, and they leaned on their dominant offensive line, which was the best in college football. And I'm just saying, he wasn't asked to do for his team what a lot of top five type of quarterbacks do, but J.J. McCarthy is going to get picked in the first, five or six picks, right?
It seems like.
If the Broncos could sit at 12 and draft J.J. McCarthy, John, I would be in love with it. I think that would be great. Yeah. But the fact that you would have to go up there to get him, and now you bring him in and, I'm sorry, I don't think J.J. McCarthy is ready to start right away. So you'd probably have Jarrett Stidham out there for a year, right? And then you would suck this season because you know how I feel about that. And you probably wouldn't have your first round pick in 2025. So this would start this horrible cycle where, okay, now there's pressure to put McCarthy in the lineup in 2025 when he's used to playing behind a dominant offensive line with good wide receivers and a good defense and the best coach. You know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden, he's not in that position that he was in Michigan. So this is why I listened to our podcast back, and I think I said 10 or 15 times during the show, literally, this scares the crap out of me, John. Trading up for him scares the crap out of me. And that is why I just wanted to kind of just go back and clarify my thoughts on that. I think the best course of action is just to keep your draft picks and play the long game and just take, I want to come out of this draft with a quarterback. We talked about that as well. A quarterback. I agree with you, John. They're going to come out of this draft with a quarterback. Michael Penix Jr., Bo Nix. If you're able to either take one of those guys at number 12, even if you're reaching for those guys. Look, J.J. McCarthy shouldn't be a top five pick. I don't think anybody watched a Michigan game throughout the last couple of years and were like, oh, yeah, that J.J. McCarthy is a top three NFL quarterback. You know what I mean? No. These guys are going to get overdrafted. So I would be, I'm like, just overdraft the guy at 12. Take Penix if you love him. Take him at 12 or trade back and get that quarterback, right? I think that's what I want. It's just the trading up to get the player continues to be what worries me, John. I think if the Broncos trade up and we're like, oh, there's been a trade and the Broncos are on the clock, I'm going to be like hyperventilating in a paper bag because I'm just worried that we're going to set ourselves up for a vicious cycle that's not going to work out.
No, I get that. And I think probably what you're voicing is the opinion of a large majority of Broncos fans, at least like what I see of Broncos fans online. Like, not necessarily that everybody hates JJ McCarthy, but it's just, it's not worth what it would presumably cost to go up to get him. It's just giving up too much for a prospect like that, I think, is the consensus view. So I'm assuming that most listeners are going to agree with you on that, and I get it. And like, I don't know what I think about it personally. Like, if Sean Payton absolutely loves him and is convinced he's a franchise quarterback, I'm not going to be mad if they go trade up and get him, but I'm also not campaigning myself for them to do that. Like, I'm no QB guru. Like, everyone talks about McCarthy's like intangibles and like his smarts and his leadership and his pre-snap and all that stuff. But like you're saying, like the pure quarterback play, like it doesn't seem like he's one of the top guys in that regard. So I get it. I get that it's a risk and that it would presumably cost a lot to go up, probably pretty, like you might have to go all the way to 4 to make sure that you get him if that's the guy they were trying to get. So I get it. I get staying put at 12. And like you said, if they really, really like Bo Nix or they really like Michael Penix and like they truly think they are their guy, I get picking him at 12, like you said, because if they're the guy, just pick them because they're the guy. You don't need to trade down and risk them not being there anymore at pick 20 or whatever it might be. So I get it. I get the hesitancy to move up for such an unknown. Like, this is why, you know, it's such an important position and such a tough position to gauge going into the draft, and such a position that's hard to get right in the draft. There's just so much unknown with it. And we also don't know who is the Broncos' favorite, how they have them ranked, and how every other team has them ranked. Like, all it takes is one team to fall in love with a random guy for things to get wonky. Like, if somebody likes J.J. McCarthy so much, maybe he goes even higher than Drake May. Like, I've heard people talk about that. And even, you know, he's extremely biased, but Harbaugh, the Chargers coach who coached him at Michigan, said he had him as QB1. And obviously that's extremely biased because he's his college coach. But just the fact that there is a coach in the NFL that feels that way, like maybe there's other coaches that go crazy about him too. So if something like that wonky happens and like Drake May falls out of like the top 4, like maybe they go up and get him and maybe people will be more comfortable with giving up a bunch of picks to go get someone like that. I don't know. But yeah, now I'm rambling, Ryan. But yeah, I get where you're coming from, not wanting to sell the farm for McCarthy.
There could be another path, right, John, that we've been hammering our desks saying the Broncos got to come out of this draft with a quarterback. And I, to my core, believe that and want that. And if they don't come out of this draft with a quarterback, I'll be pissed. But it's possible, right? Because there is a path where they say, no, we like McCarthy, but we're not going up there. It's not worth it. Somebody's got to take him in the top 5. He's not a top 5 pick, so we're not going up there. And we're not in love with Michael Penix. You know, Michael Penix has an injury history, and we don't love Bo Nix. So we're just going to take this stud tackle or receiver that falls right into our lap at 12 because, or, you know, defensive lineman or whatever, whatever you want to say. There will be really good players available at 12 because people are going to be going crazy over these quarterbacks, probably overdrafting them, right? So there is a scenario where the Broncos punt on quarterback, you know, maybe taking a flyer, a dart throw later on. Maybe Pratt is the play, you know what I mean? Something like that, but that could be the plan. And then they look to the draft or free agency in 2025, right? To be clear, that's not the path I'm looking for, John. I think it does an injustice to your fan base and sends the wrong message if you go into the season and say, we're going to ride it out with Jarrett Stidham this year and see how it goes. Or we're going to Stidham and Ryan Tannehill are going to duke it out for the job and we'll deal with our succession plan in 2025. We'll kick the can down the road. I think that's an injustice. But if you're George Payton and you don't want to mortgage your future draft capital to move up to the top 5 or 6 to draft a quarterback you're not completely sold on anyway, how could I fault them for that, right? So another path could be not take a top quarterback in this draft, go maybe dart throw later on, try to fill it with Jarrett Stidham and a Ryan Tannehill type, and then potentially look at next year, who's available. How does that draft class look? Dak Prescott is in the news, right, with the Cowboys. So that's a whole nother piece of this, John, that, again, I don't want. That's not my preference, but they could punt on quarterback altogether this offseason besides signing a veteran, like you said earlier, or drafting a Michael Pratt type?
Yeah, they could. And I think, like you're alluding to, it seems really unlikely. Like, not only do we want them to draft a quarterback at some point, we expect them to draft a quarterback at some point. But if they did punt on it, or like you said, draft a guy kind of later in the draft, you know, as you mentioned, Dak Prescott is the name to watch next year. The Cowboys, it seems like they're not going to give him an extension before the season. And then once they get to the season, you know, Prescott might prefer to let his contract wind down and get a big deal in free agency, just like Kirk Cousins just did. So, I mean, I guess I'll throw it back to you, Ryan. Like, I know we don't want the Broncos to punt on a QB this year, but in a scenario where either they draft Pratt in like the fourth round and it looks like he's not going to start next year, or they just don't get a QB at all, and we come into 2025 and the Cowboys don't give Dak Prescott an extension and he's an unrestricted free agent, and it's like a Kirk Cousins situation there was this year, and next year the Broncos, they'll finally be out of their cap mess. They're projected to have like $100 million in cap space next year. So they could, in theory, have the cap space to sign someone like Dak Prescott. Like, I know you don't want to skip this QB class, but in the weird scenario that it did happen, would you be opposed to signing Dak Prescott in 25? Like, putting aside that we don't want this year to not have a QB, but say we fast forward to 2025, the Broncos don't have some young, promising rookie quarterback. Are you opposed to like a Dak Prescott approach?
No, I mean, I love Prescott, so I would love that. I have two problems though. It's not that I don't want to lose this entire season. You know what I mean? Like, we have a whole football season here, and that, you know, I don't. That's the part that I'm worried about as a fan. Like, I don't want to lose this Broncos season. And to me, if Jared Stidham is the best quarterback we got going out there to start 2024, I feel like we've already lost our season. We're not playing for anything in that regard. So, and then the other part is, we're not guaranteed to get Prescott. We're going to be in a bidding war for him, right?
Yeah.
So that scares me as well. But I love the player.
You could avoid that by trading for him now and maybe throw Stidham back to the Cowboys. I actually proposed that to KD, who does Cowboys Wire.
What did KD say?
Well, the NFL Wire, like every week we do like a mock draft that goes up on Touchdown Wire. And I was like, hey, I'm going to trade for Dak Prescott with you. I'll give you these picks. Like, I listed out the picks, and then at the bottom I put Jared Stidham. And it was, I wish I could remember exactly what he said, but it was unflattering words to Jared Stidham.
And I was KD. Like,
I was just including him just to give you a body at quarterback, but we could take him out of the trade. So he literally took him out of the trade and wanted to do only picks. Oh, he wanted Marvin Mims, and I was like, I'm not giving you my one young receiver.
We'll have no one left,
KD. Dak Prescott.
Yeah, we need someone to throw to.
Yeah, so in that's a little bit of a spoiler in the NFL Wire mock that's coming up. I'm trading for Dak Prescott, and the thing is, I think that's probably unlikely because it might cost similar to moving up for a top quarterback prospect, and it in theory has less risk because Prescott is a known commodity. We know exactly what he is, whereas trading up for a rookie, you never know exactly how they're going to turn out for sure. But he's also going to become a free agent next year. So it's like that Russell Wilson situation where you have to give up a ton of picks to get him. And then as soon as you give him, you have to sign him to a massive contract extension because otherwise he's not going to want to do the trade. And I think he would be, you know, this is the same thing I said about Russell Wilson, but I think it would be a relatively safe decision to do because he's a couple years younger than Wilson, and Wilson was coming off one of the worst years of his career with the Seahawks, whereas Prescott is coming off like the second best year of his career with the Cowboys. And so I think because he's younger and because he's kind of at his peak right now instead of at decline right now, that it wouldn't be as risky as the Russell Wilson move. But I know a lot of Broncos fans, just me even posing this, I know a lot of people are going to freak out and be like, no, we just did that. We're not doing that again. We have to draft a quarterback and develop him, which we've never done before. We've got to finally do it. I'm like, okay, maybe they will. Like, I hope they do. I hope it goes well. But I think just posing the Prescott possibility, I think that's just a fun topic to at least throw out there among their options.
Yeah, it's really fun. And I love Dak Prescott. I think he's a good player. I think the Cowboys organization is a bleep show, right? So Dak could probably benefit from getting the hell out of there. But I just think, can you imagine George Payton picking up the phone? Like, you can just picture his hand shaking as he's like, oh, yeah, we're going to trade all of these future first round picks for a quarterback on the wrong side of 30. And we're going to pay him all this money. It's like, he's like, you know, he's going to lose it. He might faint during that call, you know, the trade talks with Jerry Jones there, Stephen Jones, whatever. Like, you know what I mean? He wouldn't be able to do it, John. He just did that and it blew up in his face. Like, I just can't imagine that happening. I think the most realistic thing would be the Broncos tank in 2024, which again, I think is a disservice to all of us, especially the fans and the players and everything in your organization and everything you stand for. Like, just like if you tank with Jarrett Stidham in 2024, that's what it is. But they could tank, keep their draft picks, and hope to get Prescott in free agency. I think that would be the way to go. Or now you're probably, you know, in theory, picking higher than 12 in 2025, and maybe you're in on the next quarterback cycle or whatever. You know what I mean? Or whatever. Quarterbacks shake free, right? We saw it this year. Quarterbacks changing teams all over the place. It's just so, the NFL offseason, man, it never disappoints, right? It's so freaking wild. You mentioned all the crazy veterans or even retired guys that the Broncos could surprise us with. We keep bringing up Ryan Tannehill because it's like, who else, right? John, are you a fan of Parks and Rec? That show? I don't think they have new episodes anymore. That old show, Parks and Rec.
Yeah, I watched it. I liked it.
So I've been randomly rewatching that with my wife. There was an episode where Andy Dwyer is on, he's on his bachelor party. He's a huge Colts fan and he gets to go to the Colts stadium and Andrew Luck's standing there with the football. And I was like, oh yeah, Andrew Luck. Like I totally forgot he existed. You know, Andrew Luck, right? That's a pretty neat trick by Andrew Luck. To be like one of the best football players in the world and then just completely disappear, have a teary-eyed retirement and then disappear off the face of the planet. But I just remember Andrew Luck still exists and then he showed up in our show notes. You're like, imagine that if Tom Brady, Drew Brees, or Andrew Luck ended up being the quarterback for the Broncos. So I don't know. I just thought that was funny.
Yeah, I mean, I would love it. And I think if that was going to happen again, kind of like with Brady, if it was going to happen, I think it already would have. And like you said, he just like totally disappeared out of the public eye. I think he did that for a reason. I don't think he's wanting, like, besides the fact of getting out of football and like protecting your body and stuff, like he just hasn't been in the public eye. I don't think that's something he wants to jump back into.
No,
so
clearly.
Like Brady, Breeze, Luck, like, it would be fun. Like, at the very least, it would be wildly entertaining. It would be great content, but I just don't think it's realistic. I don't think any of those guys are going to come out of retirement. But, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if they, like, at least talk to them, like, especially Brady, because just last year, I believe the 49ers were talking to Brady when Brock Purdy was hurt in the summer. Once it's sure if he's going to be ready to go, they said, hey, we might sign Tom Brady, and if we do, you'll begin as a backup. So that was just last year. So, I mean, teams may have at least been talking to him, throwing out the possibility to him. So that there may, like, I'm not reporting anything, just being hypothetical. There may have been conversations, but I just don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I'd love to hear that conversation between Shanahan and Purdy. Yeah, we're thinking about signing Brady, and when we do, he's going to stuff you in your locker, and you're not going to be able to come out until the end of the season. So he doesn't want to look at you for the entire year. That's what that would be. So just one quick other note on the quarterback thing, John. There was a time a few years ago where I absolutely predicted who the Broncos were going to take in the draft at number 9 overall a few years ago. I correctly said they're going to take Patrick Surtain. Boom. Nailed it, right? So people should listen when I make my official predictions. And I just want to say, you know, our last podcast, I haven't made it yet. I'll save that for next week, John. But I did say my preference was to just take Michael Penix at number 12. I like Michael Penix. I think he throws the best ball that I've seen. I'm not a quarterback guru. I know that to steal one of your lines, John. I'm not a quarterback guru, but I like this Michael Penix kid. He seemed like he's a pretty good quarterback and people are low on him for some reason, but high on JJ McCarthy. It's like, what? Penix looks like just as much of a quarterback as JJ McCarthy does. In fact, I think Washington asked Penix to do more for them than McCarthy did for the Wolverines. But anyway, I just want to say, John, that I haven't made my prediction.
So it's not official yet, but by the way,
yeah, not like official, Penix,
but I just, the suspense is killing me right now. Who are you going to pick?
Well, you're going to have to wait a week for that, John. Sorry. But the Broncos with their top 30 visits have only met with one quarterback, and that is one Michael Penix Jr. So just a little nugget for you guys to chew on. You know what I'm saying? So I just, not to say I told you so, but they love Michael Penix and hate the rest of the quarterbacks, John, clearly.
At least of the visits that we know about and that have happened so far. But they met with McCarthy after his pro day, and I think they met with Jaden Daniels after his pro day too. But Daniels seems extremely unlikely that they moved up that high. But yeah, so far, I think Penix is the only one we know of that's come to the facility.
Huh. Interesting. That's just an interesting little nugget right there, John. But I'll leave you with that. Okay, so
if you call that, Ryan, you're going to have that bragging rights for a really long time, especially at 12. I would be surprised. Like, I'd rather move down a little bit and still get him, because I think they could do that. But we'll see. If they pick him at 12, you are going to have bragging rights for a long time.
Yes, I will. So what we can say here is that their top 2024 draft need, in our opinion, is quarterback, right? We can agree on that, John?
Yep.
Okay, let's agree on that. And now let me just give you the floor. What are their other top draft needs? What do you think going into this draft should be a priority for the Denver Broncos, and especially in a situation where they might be out on this quarterback class, decide it's not worth it, and maybe they're looking to fill one of these top needs on day one, right? So what do you think?
Well, the number two need that I have listed is kind of controversial, because this is a position that various mock drafts have the Broncos picking. And every time they do, I see Broncos fans on Twitter freaking out, and it's cornerback. And I have corner because, you know, Pat Surtain is fantastic. McMillan is a really good slot guy, but they don't have a for sure number two outside corner across from Pat Surtain. And some people will be like, well, they just drafted Riley Moss in the third round and they traded a third round. And I'm like, yeah, well, great. Like, if they are confident, like extremely confident, he's going to take a huge step forward this year, okay, you can do that. And then after the draft, you can sign a proven bet, and you just have like a vet on a 1-year deal and you have Riley Moss, that's fine. But unless they are really confident that Moss is going to be the guy this year after he barely played at all last year, like, to me, corner is a very pressing need. And like, there's going to probably be two or three really good guys available at 12. And like, I think people are like, well, if you draft a cornerback 1 year after drafting Riley Moss, then that just shows that you messed up last year drafting a cornerback, and it shows that you're not good at drafting corners. I'm like, well, yes, if Moss is not good enough, then you got to replace him. And it's a bummer, but you don't just say, well, we can't draft this one because then it shows that last year's pick was not good. I'm like, well, if the pick was not good, it's not good. And there's a reason Riley Moss was a third-round pick. Like, a couple years ago, Pat Surtain, there was a reason he was a top-10 pick. And the guys that would be in the range of 12th overall, like, there's a reason they are graded as, like, top-12 prospects opposed to Riley Moss being a third-round prospect. And, like, I don't want to dump over Riley Moss. Like, it's way too early in his career to call him a bust. And he had, like, core muscle surgery last summer. So I think that kind of lingered and hindered him. It probably bothered him his whole rookie season. So it's very possible that he has, you know, a breakout year this year. But I just think, unless they are extremely confident that's going to happen, to me, cornerback is a huge need. And that was really long, Ryan. I won't get that in depth on all the positions. But no, so good. Quarterback number one, corner number two, and then in my mind, I have pass rusher number three. And like, I love Baron Browning, but he's had a bunch of injuries. Nick Bonito, he took a step forward last year, and I think a lot of people are projecting him to take as big of a step forward this year too. And again, that might happen. I'm not counting my chickens before they're hatched. And I'm just saying, if Bonito stays at the level he was last year for the rest of his career, like, that's a very good rotational rusher, but it's not someone I want starting on the edge every week. So I would love to get an elite pass rusher. And, you know, maybe Baron Browning doesn't even get an extension. Maybe injuries keep bothering him. Like, one way or another, they could really use a really good, promising pass rusher. And again, there might be two or three guys there. Probably Dallas Turner from Alabama. He probably won't be there. But like, Jared Verse might be there at 12. The UCLA guy might be there at 12. So I think between corner and pass rusher, to me, if they don't draft like a Bo Nix or a Michael Penix at 12, I think corner or pass rusher, it would make the most sense to me to draft one of those positions at 12. And like, there's offensive tackles, but I think the best one Obviously, Joe Alt, he's going to be long gone. And then I think there's a little bit, like, again, you could trade back and still get a good offensive tackle if they want to do that. I don't think you need to reach for one at 12. So to me, it's QB, corner, and pass rusher. Those are the top three. And then there's like an in-between area where they're more like their needs, but they're not as high priority in my mind as those top three. The one is defensive line. I think they have a solid starting trio, but they need more depth. Another is inside linebacker. Again, I think they have two good starters, and I think Jonas Griffith can compete for a starting job, but they don't have like a long-term like athletic cover inside linebacker. I mean, that's been something we've been wanting them to get for years, and they just never do it. So who knows if they will this year. And then, like I already mentioned, offensive tackle, it just totally depends on Garrett Bowles. If they are planning to give Garrett Bowles an extension, then, you know, you can draft a guy in like the fourth round, fifth round, sixth round, whatever, develop him. If they're not planning to give Garrett Bowles an extension, I would want to draft someone pretty high and, you know, get them some training, even get them some reps and have them ready to take over next year if they let Garrett Bowles walk in free agency next year. And then I have tight end. Like, some people really want them to get like a real playmaking tight end. And like Brock Bowers, he's another guy that will probably be there at 12. Mm. To me, like, Adam Trautman is just fine. He's just a fine tight end. And then Greg Dulcich, again, with the injuries, maybe he'll, you know, become a great tight end. Maybe he never will. Like, I don't think we can count on it. But those are two just fine tight ends. And then they've got another young guy behind them. So at the very least, they have to get depth. And you can get depth later in the draft. You can even sign on undrafted free agents. Or if they really want to make a splash, like, they could get Bowers or someone like that earlier in the draft. And then receiver, again, like, they just signed Josh Reynolds. But he's already, like, 29. Tim Patrick is a free agent next year. Cortland Sutton has just a couple years left on his contract. So in week one and like in 2024, they don't have to have more receivers. They don't have to draft a receiver. But if they want to start thinking for the future a little bit, like, it's not going to be shocking if they say, you know, we want another young guy to pair with Marvin Mims, you know, for Michael Penix, Ryan's pick, to have these two young guys to play the next decade with. So receiver, like, it doesn't have to be a pressing need, but it's something that they could address. And then the last one I have listed is running back. And it's just because Javonte Williams and Samaje Perine, they're both free agents next year. And one or both of them might get an extension. And again, it's not like they have to have a running back for week one. It's not like they have to have another running back for 2024. But if they start thinking long-term and start thinking of the future, like, I never complain about drafting a running back. I think that's just smart. Get a guy for 4 years on his rookie contract and then do it all over again. So, if they want to draft a running back, I wouldn't be mad about it. I wouldn't be surprised if they do. But kind of like those other positions I listed there at the end, I don't think it has to be a huge, huge pressing need. To me, it's QB, corner, and pass rusher. And that's apparently a little bit controversial, but we'll see how it goes.
Well, those you had kind of a run of defensive needs, right? After quarterback, which, again, right now we only have Jarrett Stidham and Ben DiNucci on the roster. So, yeah, quarterback is number one. And then corner, which I thought you made some good points about, and, you know, not saying Riley Moss can't step up, but you made some good points there. But then you had a run on defensive positions, John, right? Outside linebacker, defensive line, inside linebacker. And I just, like, if the Broncos are sitting there at 12, and again, the quarterback day one isn't, you know, they're not in on the quarterbacks at that juncture, right? Don't you feel like there could be some stud defensive players on the board, right? Like, you mean we could already mock it right now, like off the top of our brains, right? Like Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, Drake May, JJ McCarthy. Well, there's four off the board. You have a couple tackles that are definitely going to go. You have the three wide receivers, Roma Dunze kid. Hopefully I didn't mispronounce that. People are going to catch me on my lack of college football knowledge. And I'm supposed to be talking about Michael Penix. I can't even pronounce his receiver's name. But yeah, Rome. I'll call him Rome. Adunze. Marvin Harrison Jr. And Neighbors, right? I just named seven players. And never mind the fact that a couple tackles. So there could be like the Broncos could have a chance to select the third or fourth defensive player off the entire board when their pick comes at number 12. So I would not rule out them not going quarterback and going defense in round one. I think that could be a thing, especially with all the, you know, the veteran defensive guys they lost in free agency too, right? I think that's going to be something to watch. Tight end, I'm with you, man. The tight end, I almost want to move up the board because I hate Adam Trautman and Greg Dulcich and his hamstrings can get the hell off my TV. You know what I mean? Like, I was in on Greg Dulcich until his hamstrings. He has lost me with those hamstrings. I just can't stand his hamstrings, John. They're the worst hamstrings in football, I think.
Believe me, he can't stand them either.
Yeah, so tight end, I'd almost move that up the board to wish into existence that they get Brock Bauer somehow, because that would be a sexy pick. That would be fun. And Sean Payton could definitely use a player like that. That would be great. But Greg Dulcich.
With Garrett Stidham throwing him the
ball. Yeah. This elite offense we're building here in Denver. And running back, too. Like, I'm with you. Like, you're never complaining about a running back in the fourth or fifth round, right? That's just a great spot to pick backs. And you stockpile those young backs, and they can come in and give you, they're not as sexy a name as Javonte Williams was pre-knee injury, but they can give you around the same production you're getting from Javonte Williams. You get it. Just keep drafting a guy in the fourth or fifth round. So, John, I thought that was some good work you did there. But again, yeah, get me a tight end, please. I kind of like the Lucas Kroll kid, actually. I wish they throw him the ball more. He seems pretty good.
I think he'll be more involved this year. I think he will, especially like if Dulcich is not, like if he's ever hurt or just like not coming along like they want him to, like I wouldn't be surprised if Kroll starts getting more and more snaps and becomes the number two. And like if they don't draft someone like a Brock Bowers, like maybe eventually he'll work his way up to being the number one, at least like the number one receiving option. Like I think he's someone to watch. Like Peyton from the very start had talked about, you know, how he liked him and how he offers something different to the offense. So I think that's a good shout. He's somebody to watch this year.
24/7 IV for Dulcich to keep that body like refreshed and stop having hamstring pulls. You know what I mean? Like, oh my gosh, please. Okay. That's my Greg Dulcich rant for the summer, John. I'm not going to go back to that one again.
So you mentioned how there might be a lot of good defenders at 12 and just not picking QB and going defense there. Like there are draft pundits that, and again, like one team falling in love with a guy could throw this all out of whack. But like, there's a lot of smart people who study the draft and study prospects who say that Bo Nix and Michael Penix are not first round quarterbacks. And like, if they're right, and if there's not, you know, one NFL team that deviates from the 31 others, if Bo Nix and or Michael Penix both slip into the second round, like in theory, the Broncos could get a defender they really like at 12, and then they'd have to trade into the second round because they don't even have a second round pick. But it's easier to trade into the second round to get someone like Nix or Penix and less expensive than it would be to trade up to a top four pick or a top five pick to get someone like a McCarthy. So that's just another scenario to keep in mind of something that maybe they would be able to pull off.
Yeah, for sure. So it's something to watch. It's something to watch for sure. I don't think we're all going to be sitting there on our couches rooting for the quarterback, but it's, you know, there's a strong likelihood that it doesn't happen. And I'm mentally preparing myself right now, John, a couple of weeks before the draft. A couple of other things that have happened in the league since we've talked last are some rules changes. Thought that could be a fun way to kind of end the show. So what do you think of the new rules changes? There's two big ones, the league banning the hip drop tackle. The one that I think the famous one from this past season, the one we all remember, is the one that injured Mark Andrews when the Ravens were in the middle of their, you know, playoff. They were making, you know, late in the regular season, right? Making a push for the playoffs, solidifying themselves as, you know, arguably the Super Bowl favorite, that Mark Andrews went down with a hip drop tackle. The league has now banned that tackle. And there's a new kickoff that is really funny. If you haven't seen a shot of what it's going to look like, you have to pull up XFL highlights to see what the new NFL kickoff will be like. So that's kind of fun as well. But John, let's start with the hip drop tackle. What do you think about that being banned in the NFL?
Yeah, my initial reaction was, oh man, that might be kind of hard to police. Like a quick, I mean, maybe not, because like the officials know, you know, they know what it looks like, but just like in a quick bang bang play, it's like, are you really going to be able to spot that and call it correctly? And like, you're putting another thing in defenders' minds as they're trying to make a play, trying to not let a guy score a touchdown. It's like, oh, I got to remember that I can't tackle that way, coming from behind him or coming from his side. Like, it's just the rules make it harder and harder to play defense, which I think the NFL doesn't mind too much, because offense and scoring is exciting and the NFL wants offense and scoring. But like at some point, like it gets harder and harder to play. And I'm very curious to see how they're going to be able to enforce it and how much of a learning curve is it for players. And also, like, I haven't studied enough. Like, I don't even know how many times a tackle like that happened last year. Like, is that something that happened like 10 times a game, or is that something that happened like 10, 20 times a season? Like, I'm sorry for not being more informed in that. Like, I don't even know how infrequent something like that's going to be, but I'm curious to see how it plays out.
Yeah, I don't think any of us know. And I think that's part of the problem. And I think the first thing you said, John, is I was nodding my head with you. It's like, how do you police this? How do you police this? I think this is the worst solution the NFL could have come up with for this particular issue. And I'm not saying that I love guys spraining their ankles and breaking their legs with the hip drop tackle. I just think this solution is the worst solution, because you're banning a tackle. Now you're going to flag 15 yards for something that's super subjective and that's going to be hard to officiate in real time. And like, we're all football fans, John, talking about this stuff, listening to this podcast, whatever. Like, what would you say, just as a fan in the modern game, what do you think is affecting the product the most as a fan when you watch the games? Like, what's the number one thing that pops out to you?
Like interruptions, I guess, like all the TV timeouts and the stoppage in gameplay is what pops into my head.
And flags. Yeah, flags would go into that, right? There's too many flags. The game is over officiated. And frankly, the officiating kind of sucks, right? It's inconsistent. Fans are always on social media bitching about the refs after every game, right? It doesn't matter if you win or lose. There's something that happened that people are upset about. And I think it's the biggest problem in the game. All these stoppages, all these, and especially these 15-yard penalties, John, that directly affect the outcome of the game, when half the time it's like a stupid taunting penalty or a unnecessary roughness call for a guy that flopped after the play. It's, you know, the helmet to helmet thing is one thing, but the guy that like gets pushed in the chest and then the 250-pound guy chiseled falls over, like, you know, you're pushing me. You know what I mean? Like, that's where I kind of, you know, get a little upset when I'm watching the game. I'm like, you got to be kidding me with these flags. So now we're going to ask the officials, who suck anyway, John, to figure out how to call this hip drop tackle in real time. Like, I just think we're setting ourselves up for disaster here. I just think more flags, more ridiculous 15-yard penalties, and I think it's going to be really hard to police this, as you said, and really hard to get it out of the game. I do have a solution, but I don't know if you had something you wanted to say based on what I just said.
Yeah, I think the NFL kind of expected that pushback that you just gave them right there. Mm-hmm. And they kind of like were like, hey, by the way, like through a couple of different, like on NFL Network and even like their, I don't even know who he was, but a high ranking NFL person that talks about the rules. They've been pointing out that at least in year one, it's going to be enforced more through fines than through flags. And to me, that kind of makes sense. Like after the fact, they watch the film and they're like, oh, that was a hip drop tackle. You get fined. And then like a player gets hit in the wallet. They're like, oh, I got fined for that. I don't want to do that next time. And that doesn't like stop the game. It's not like a game altering call or whatever. And it doesn't put as much pressure on the officials. And like, if they see it, they can still call it, but they don't have to, you know, every single play be throwing a questionable flag. It's just, okay, the NFL is going to review this. If that was a hip drop tackle, that guy's getting fined. So I think that's a way that in theory could make it not be, you know, flagged left and right here and there, and that players will, the league will still get the point across to them through fines. So we have to see it played out in practice, but like in theory, I think that's like somewhat of a little bit of a solution.
That's a great solution. And if they can figure it out that way, rather than actually throwing a million flags during the game, John, try to figure it out in real time, I would applaud the league for once. You know what I mean? Like I love that. Like, and I think they should do that more. I think take some of these taunting penalties and unnecessary roughness stuff and take some of this stuff out, but go back and review it after the game and then fine the crap out of these players. And then when they have multiple offenses, fine them more. You know what I mean? Like they will get the hint, and believe me, these guys don't want to lose their money. So they will stop. Yeah. They will change the way they do it. But I don't know. I think the checkbook would hurt a guy way more than a 15-yard flag would in a game. So I think that is the solution. I just want to make sure that we're not chucking flags around and ruining the game. 15 yards, a lot of that changes a game right there. You know what I mean? Like in a key situation.
Yep.
And I just hate those 15 yard penalties. Okay. So the other rule was the XFL style kickoff. John, I haven't done enough research on this. I just know that it's completely different. It's a new play in the league, which kind of is fun. But what's your thoughts on the new kickoff?
Yeah, basically, like the kicking team is only like 5-10 yards separated from the receiving team, and they're all the way down at like the receiving team's 40-yard line. They can't move until the ball is fielded. And like when the XFL, it's funny. The XFL and the USFL merged this like off season, and they're playing now this spring, and they're doing the NFL's old kickoffs. They stopped doing the XFL style kickoffs, and now the NFL is going to the XFL kickoff. So I thought that was just kind of funny how they swapped their kicks like that. But yeah, the NFL is doing what the XFL used to do, and it led to a lot more returns in the XFL. I think it's a good thing to try, because in theory you're going to get a lot more returns from it, and that's exciting, because lately so many kicks have just been kicked straight out of the back of the end zone because it's better off for the receiving team than risking a return. And honestly, I think that's a big reason why the NFL made all the changes. They basically wanted to eliminate the return because it was such a high injury play. And now that the XFL tested out this play, you get the fun, exciting returns, but you get fewer collisions because they start so close together. And then in just as a direct result of that, you get fewer injuries on kickoffs. So the NFL was like, okay, if we can have a fun return and the chance for a guy to break one for a big gain or even a touchdown, and then also have fewer injuries than a traditional kickoff, yeah, like, why not try that? So I'm all for trying it and see how it goes. I think it's like a one-year trial. And if it goes well, then they adopt it. But I'm definitely on board for trying it.
Yeah, and they're going to use this to address the onside kick too. Maybe make that more of a play than a play that never works. So they're going to work that into this too. Again, just picturing the kickoff team and receiving team all on one half of the football field, right? That's what you got to picture here. And it's very, it's so different. There's a landing zone. There's all this different stuff. Again, I'm not smart enough to break this down for people, but you could find the videos of what it looks like. There's some XFL, I think Bronco, John, on Broncos Wire, right? Did you guys have some links or something from Twitter or something? You probably did, right? Of what it'll look like. So go on the site and check that out. I just think it's fun because, like I said, it's an entirely new play. So now we're going to, this is actually like off-season strategy and game planning. Like, I think this is a perfect time for Sean Payton to show us all how smart he is, John, right? He's going to love this. Don't you picture Sean Payton loving this, right? Like I think about the first kickoff in Mile High when he did the surprise onside kick, you know, to Sean Payton. And I bitched about it afterwards when we talked, and I said, oh, he's trying to be the smartest guy in the room. Well, here's his actual chance to do that. Like, be the smartest guy and come up with, figure out the advantage, figure out the loopholes with this new play. It's there's going to be strategy involved. So that's what I think is fun. Because to your point, I think the Super Bowl, Chiefs 49ers, I don't think there was one kickoff return in that game. The guys were booming it 30 yards beyond the end zone, it seemed. There was no kickoff, not even close. So this is going to change that. And I think that's fun. But yeah, I just picture Sean Payton being like, wait till they see what I got in store. Right, John? So that's that for me.
Yeah, one of the first things Payton did when he got to Denver, he basically hired two special teams coordinators. One of them was like the assistant head coach. But yeah, so he put a big emphasis on special teams right away. And so, yeah, we'll see like a reverse, like there's a XFL play that people always share when talking about this new, where the returner just kind of did a reverse, like they had two guys deep, the rest were blocking, and they just did a reverse. I mean, that's not super complicated thing, but it's something that we could see from the Broncos or other teams coming up here with the new rule. So yeah, I'm eager to see how it goes. I feel like it's pretty low risk and potential good reward, because I think it's just going to lead to more returns. And you know, maybe it's just teams are going to be too good, and it's just like returns are too easy. Like if everyone was going for a touchdown, like every time the NFL's like, might Whoops. Be the first time they'd ever like make an in-season rule change. Be like, okay, no more automatic touchdown returns. So I don't think that's going to happen, because even though there's a huge talent gap from the NFL to the XFL, we didn't see that happen every time in the XFL. I think in like two seasons of that kickoff style, I think there were two kickoff returns for touchdowns. And again, like the NFL is more talented, better coaching and all that, but I don't think it's going to be exploited where every single return is a touchdown. But I do think there will be a lot more returns, maybe better starting position. And, you know, purists might not love that, but like I said before, the NFL likes more offense, more scoring. So like if the average starting spot now is like the 37-yard line instead of the 24-yard line, like, you know, purists might not like it, but at the end of the day, I don't think it's going to ruin the game or anything. So I'm up for it.
Yeah, more points. Definitely getting more points, right? Potential for more kickoff return stuff, John. Definitely double the 15-yard flags with these two rules changes. So we're going to get more points. We're getting more offense. Screw the defense, right? That's where we're. That's every year we had a little bit more in that direction. I know there was some Broncos included. A lot of defenders were not happy about that rule change with the hip drop. But again, can't be breaking everybody's ankles all the time. It reminds me of the horse collar one. Although the horse collar tackle, John, it's just a little bit easier to officiate because pretty much now when you grab when you grab that spot now to tackle, even if you don't really yank it, if you grab it and it's part of the tackle, you're getting flagged for that thing. And I think we're all used to it now. We just got to figure out if we can we see the hip drop tackle in real time? If it's not like a play in the backfield or something where you're focused on it, that's going to be tough. But okay, so that was a podcast, and we're going to have another one for the people next week. John, you want to preview that? I know you're going to be working on, this is going to be your official 7-round mock draft for Broncos Wire. You are or are not going to be trading for Dak Prescott in this one?
Well, in the NFL Wire one that's coming out, I believe it's coming out Friday, so the day after this pod comes out. In the NFL Wire one, I am trading for Prescott. And in the Broncos Wire 7-round mock, I haven't gotten to that yet. I haven't written it yet. I don't think I'm going to – I'll probably, you know, just stick with rookies. I might move up and down, but I don't think I'm going to trade for established vets in that 7-round mock.
Going to go so Michael Penix, number 12. Week. Michael Penix, John. You can take that if you want. I'll give you permission.
Well, actually, in a previous 7-round mock for Broncos Wire, I moved down and I got Penix at the top of the 2nd round. Oof. So,
well, I would be ecstatic.
There's that for you, Ryan.
I'd be ecstatic.
And again, like, I don't know how realistic that is. Like, a lot of draft pundits say that it is realistic, but you really never know. And that's part of what makes the draft so fun is all this hype, all this prep, all these opinions. When it comes down to it, we don't know how all the individual teams feel. So there can be chaos on draft night. All it takes is one team to do something you don't expect and then a bunch of domino effects from it. So, the draft is fun. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to the Broncos being back in the 1st round. And we'll have our official mock drafts next week. Yes. And I have a feeling which way you're leaning, Ryan, but you've done a great job not spoiling it.
Yeah,
so
I know.
Everybody come back next week to see if it's Michael Penix or not.
The Sertan pick kind of came to me, you know, right before we recorded a few years ago. This one, I don't know. Maybe I'll change my mind at the last second. I've been known to do that, especially with my March Madness bracket, John. You know, I pick that thing on like Sunday night and then change it all on Wednesday and then suck. You know, that kind of thing. So,
you can't second guess that. Your first gut, you got to just go with it.
I think I'm on the Penix train. I gotta ride it. I've been watching YouTube videos of him, John. I've been getting myself hyped for that one. So, I like it. Yeah, next week, 7-round mock draft from John Heath, and then we'll give our official predictions for day one. That sound good to you?
It sounds great.
All right. So for John Heath, I'm Ryan O'Leary. I don't think I mentioned this earlier in the program, but thank you for listening. And if you could, leave us a 5-star rating. That helps us out. That supports us. If you've listened all the way through, that means you actually like us and might want to support us. So leave us that 5-star review if you could. Tell a friend and subscribe if you haven't already. You can subscribe on any major platform. Again, O'Leary and Heath. We'll catch you next week.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.